inspired to move towards the Ephesians text today. And had some resonances during the week, you know, traveling back and forth and around in the car, and or reading articles on the internet about the confirmation hearings of the judge Sotomayor. Thank you. Was gone for a moment. You know, when she was first nominated, you know, there was a lot of comment about whether or not what she, you know, comments she made a while back. And of course, also you almost would think that the only case she ever ruled on was the New Haven case with the firefighters and how she went against the original ruling. I mean, that was really kind of a big focus, especially when the Supreme Court overturned that decision and went back to the original ruling. And got me thinking, because in the Ephesians text, we hear that Jesus has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances so that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two. Abolishing the law, right? It got me thinking about the place of the law in our, not just in our society, but also in our role in the church. I mean, the law takes a very privileged position. And now here we hear that it's abolished, right? But if we think about our society, when we think about a law or the body of laws creates two groups. I mean, there are insiders and outsiders. Clearly, if there are laws that you transgress, that you don't follow, well, you place yourself in the outside. Those who transgress the law, you are transgressors. But we also have bodies of laws that begin to talk about rights. And this is one that, because of that New Haven firefighter case, the rights of minorities, the rights of folks who earn their position. How does that play out? I mean, because our whole system in America is based on rights. But that immediately begins to create alienation. Immediately creates groups. I have rights, well, you don't. Christians feel they have rights to practice their religion, right? But then folks outside of that don't want it creeping into the government. In fact, then want to even erase the influence or acknowledgement of religion. So while you have the exercise clause, free exercise, but also no preference of another religion, how do you work those out? You have two groups that fight. Every issue that comes before into the midst of the public arena has at least two groups. People who debate it out and work it out. And it becomes very divisive. It's in some ways some of the language that Paul is dealing with here in Ephesians. He's just finished talking, and we get that great bit out of Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not through works, right? Now he moves into talking, because he's talking to Gentiles. Gentiles who are the large group outside of Judaism. To say that Jesus abolishes the law is to make a very clear statement about what the law in the history of Israel and in Christianity talks about. We want to talk sometimes, and for Paul, when he talks about the law, it's about the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's the rooting of all the laws. Right, all of the laws at the last half of the book of Exodus and in the book of Leviticus are all around how they interpret the law, the Ten Commandments. We want to nowadays turn and talk about how the Ten Commandments are the foundation of our modern day legal system, right? This Judeo-Christian ethic. But that really is only talking about the second tablet. Honor your father and mother, do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not... That's how we love our neighbor. And those are pretty well-established rules in most societies. God gives us the ability to reason through those things, how we love our neighbor and how we maintain order in society. But initially, the Ten Commandments, we forget the first tablet. You shall have no other gods before me. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Right? And this is what I was afraid of. I don't have them in front of me. Thank you. Do not use the name of the Lord for empty purposes. Oh, it's frightening sometimes to get up here and not have it in front of you. I know them, and they vanish. Great. Those are all rooted in how we love God. And even then, if we keep that in mind, we have forgotten the very first bit of the giving of the Ten Commandments, the preface that makes everything else make sense. For God says, I have delivered you out of the house of slavery, out of Egypt, and into the promised land. God has created a covenantal people by pulling them out of Egypt, out of slavery, through the Red Sea. The Ten Commandments are rooted in very much creating a particular covenantal people, which does, in fact, immediately create two groups, the insiders and the outsiders, the Jews and the Gentiles. And now we hear the writing that Jesus has abolished the law. He doesn't rid us of the necessity of saying, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not commit adultery. No coveting, no bearing false witness. What he does here is say that tearing down of the walls, this no longer stands for just one people and not others. In Christ, he begins to reckon, Christ himself reconciles these two groups into one. That's what Paul was all about. He called him the apostle to the Gentiles. To know that in Christ, God's covenantal people is now a universal prospect. No longer insiders and outsiders. Jesus himself carries that reconciliation and part of that covenant to the others. One of the parts of the Abrahamic covenant was that Jews will be blessed, so that all the people of the world might be blessed through them. And we see Jesus as that blessing to the Gentiles, to us, bringing us all inside this family, this one people, this one covenantal people of God. After all, we might say that the law, well, we do say that the law, while it helps us keep order to the civil authorities, it acts as a mirror to show us our own brokenness. This establishment of two people, two groups, multiple groups even, we see that fundamental brokenness. It's held up before us, even in the very establishing of the law. Here is a covenantal people, the rest are outside. The law also continues to show us all of our other brokennesses. But in Christ, Christ is at work as he shows us that brokenness, our divisions. He also shows us that he is the way, he is the true peace. He is the one who is reconciling us one to another. And we find then that in him, the demands of the law, which might have at once been demands and created groups, this law now becomes our joy. For following the law in Christ allows us to empty ourselves of our desires, our demands, allows us to empty ourselves of our sinful nature. Christ brings about, through the law, a new people who serve Christ, who become ministers in the kingdom for the sake of the world, who are able to give up their own claims to what is right and true and must only be the case, all others be damned. We now exist in a new reality. One that says we are citizens of the commonwealth of the saints. The way that's rendered in the text, we are now citizens of the commonwealth of the holy ones. We find that this law begins now as we are unified in Christ, Jews and Gentiles together. As we are unified, we are made holy. I suspect this week, as we go to New Orleans, as 36,000 of us descend upon that city, and we begin to encounter Lutherans from all over. We're not so worried now about Midwest Lutherans and East Coast Lutherans, or whether we come from traditional churches or contemporary churches. But we're unified around a purpose in the city to make known Jesus in our words and in our actions, as we seek to learn about the history of the place. That's what some of the groups will do. We'll end up in a park, cleaning up and restoring a park that has been damaged by Katrina, when, frankly, parks are pretty low on the priority list even now. Other groups will be out doing other things. It's a broad vision of restoring wholeness. We'll simply be Lutheran Christians gathered together, seeking to do Christ's bidding, seeking to serve the one who has served us, the one who has reconciled us together. One group, one body, a vision of the kingdom that Christ brings about. Let us pray that that may be so for all of us in this time of the coming of the kingdom. Thanks be to God. Amen.